I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World. The war in Syria took a break today. The pause in fighting was announced by the government of President Bashar al-Assad. Of course, it's not the first time in the 5.5-year war that fighting has been put on hold, however briefly. Same with the war in Yemen. Just yesterday, warring sides there agreed to a ceasefire. Few people in either Syria or Yemen think the ceasefires will hold, but Jason Quinn says we shouldn't feel too down. He's a professor at the University of Notre Dame, and he's looked at conflicts dating back to 1975. Professor Quinn, what did the data tell you about ceasefires in the past and their actual role in ending wars?
When we started looking at what we call the chains of ceasefire agreements, so when one follows another, our thoughts were that a series of failures might create some kind of a negative cascade effect where the parties kind of get down and say, well, this didn't work in the past. It probably won't work this time. But what we found was really the opposite. Ceasefire agreements, and there's been hundreds of them, they failed at a rate of about 80%. But what we found was that the best predictor that any one ceasefire agreement will be successful, and by successful, I mean not followed by renewed conflict or violence, the best predictor that any one ceasefire agreement will be successful is how many failed peace agreements came before.
So failed ceasefires.
Yes.
Let's look at a ceasefire in place today in Syria. Should we look at this as an incremental step in settling this war, or is it a break to allow humanitarian aid in, to allow, you know, some movement, but this isn't really a step toward a peace agreement?
Oh, I see it as a step toward a peace agreement, even if it fails. Like I said, I think ceasefires only really have a purpose, logic, in a larger peace process. You know, the way that the policy debates typically unfold on radio shows and in magazines is they tend to be portrayed as a debate, which outcome is better, military solution or a peace agreement, that one outcome is better than the other. When in fact, most large civil wars end in a particular sequence of outcomes. Usually, the moderates come together, spend several years in negotiations towards a comprehensive agreement, and then after that is reached, other groups that remain on the periphery join the process. There's always going to be a few hardliner groups that won't join regardless because they want to have unilateral control over the state. That's always going to happen. That's going to be the case in Syria for sure. But what happens is, as moderates see that the peace process is viable, they'll join in. They don't want to miss out. Fear of missing out is a strong motivation. There's always going to be a few hardliner groups that hold out, but those can be militarily defeated. This is a proven sequence that have ended many large, deadly, complex civil wars in the past. And even if the first agreement fails, I mean, the research shows that the second or third agreement will tend to hold.
Professor Jason Quinn, along with his colleague at Notre Dame, Madhav Joshi, published a study of 196 ceasefires from 1975 to 2011. Professor Quinn, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.